And I just want to affirm you and applaud you. You lost an hour of sleep last night because it's spring forward. But the good news is it's going to be lighter longer, so you can stay up really late tonight, and it's spring break. You don't have to go to work tomorrow, right? Well, some do, and we will. But it's going to be an incredible experience as we dive into God's Word together. We want to welcome those who are joining us online, our digital family. We have a host there that will walk with you, and we have scripture that will show up on the screen for you as well, and so delighted that you're with us. So if you would help me in welcoming all those who are joining us online, would you give them a big hand? We appreciate them so much. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you'll turn there, the Bible in front of you, it's literally page 1056. 1056. We're going to dive in to a couple verses there in just a moment. I am always so grateful for the opportunity to get to preach God's word. And I appreciate Pastor Greg, our senior pastor, who's been serving faithfully here 19 years, standing on the word of God, preaching the word of God. And I appreciate him bringing me into the rotation of preaching every now and then. As an executive pastor, my plate is full. And I so appreciate the opportunities I do have to rotate in to preach God's word, and very grateful for that opportunity this morning. So delighted to have my beautiful family with me, taking up a whole row right there. My wife, Tanya, and I have been married 33 years. My daughter, Tori, my son, Austin, our daughter-in-law, Katie, her mom, Lori, and grandmother, Sharon. Would y'all welcome them? So glad we got the whole fam here. We're called tramfamforgod@gmail.com. Isn't that a blessing? All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Pastor Greg gave us a launch pad last Sunday to dive into these two verses. All scripture is God-breathed, inspired by God, and profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, the woman of God, the child of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I want you to notice our first phrase here from last Sunday that will propel us forward into this message. Pastor Greg talked about tough times call for firm belief in the Bible. Tough times call for firm belief in the Bible. And here in chapter 3, just to give you a snapshot, in verses 1 through 15 that Pastor Greg covered, we notice in verse 1, hard times will come in the last days, and we are living in the last days. You'll notice in verse 12, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ and make a commitment to walk with God and to fulfill his will in your life and to live a life of surrender and obedience to the Lord, and you commit your life to be on mission with God, you can anticipate opposition. All those who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted. And then verse 15, the sacred scriptures are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Sacred scriptures here, Paul is referencing the Old Testament that Timothy had grown up learning and applying to his own life. And there's a shift between verse 15 and verse 16. And what you'll notice in verse 15 is that scripture guides us to salvation. And then in verse 16, it grows us in sanctification. If you're new to the Bible, if you're new to this scene of walking with God, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you experience what's called salvation. You're justified. It's justified, never sinned. I'm made righteous before God, fit for heaven. Then you enter a process of sanctification where you're growing in your faith. You're developing spiritual muscle and fortitude and tenacity, learning how to discern the voice of God. And then one day we'll experience glorification when we trade in this old body for our glorified body. Are you looking forward to that? Raise your hand if you're excited about that. That's going to be awesome. But until then, we're going to experience sanctification, spiritual growth, and spiritual development. And that's what Paul is pointing to here in these two verses. Three questions I want to ask this morning as we encounter God's word together. What are you reading? What are the benefits? And what are you becoming? What are you reading? What are the benefits? And what are you becoming? Let's start with the first question. What are you reading? Now, probably you had a few titles come to mind. Well, I'm reading this novel about, and oh, it just takes me to far places. Or I'm reading this leadership book, and it's really helping me grow as a leader. Or maybe there's another book that has captured your heart or your imagination, and you've been so engaged in reading that book. But I'm not talking about those books. What I want to know this morning is, what are you reading when you read God's Word? You see, books can be inspiring, but it's only the book that is inspired. Look at verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture. So let me give you our first statement. Here it is. The Bible is divinely inspired. The Bible is divinely inspired. Now, when you look at God's Word, there are 66 books in the Bible. Here's how you can remember it. 39 in the Old Testament, 3 times 9, 27 in the New Testament. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek and Aramaic, and we have our English translations. And right now, we're using the Christian Standard Bible, the CSB. 66 books of the Bible. And what's so powerful is God, who is our divine author, chose 40 human authors to write. And it was over a 1,500-year period of time. Think about that. The divine author, God, allowing 40 human authors to write over 15 centuries of time to create, to develop what we call as the Word of God, the Bible. And when you read the Word of God, as you read and engage Scripture, you are engaging a string of pearls. All 66 books are united to point to Jesus Christ. All 66 books are united to point to God's offer of salvation. So what does Paul mean by all Scripture? Well, in verse 15, he was referencing the sacred Scriptures of the Old Testament, and then he says all Scripture. It literally means all of the Scripture, all of the Bible that we have here before us. The Greek word is theopneustos. It literally means God breathed, inspired. That is, God's words were given through men, superintended by the Holy Spirit, so that their writings are without error. Now, here's a word I just want you to write down somewhere on your notes. The word revelation. This word just blows me away. That God has chosen as the creator of the universe to reveal himself through his word. That's revelation. Now, we are known as a Southern Baptist church. There are 47,000 Southern Baptist churches in the Southern Baptist Convention. And we have what's called the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. It was adopted and affirmed in 2000. As a convention, we affirm these are our doctrinal standards. This is what unites us, what we believe about God, what we believe about Jesus, what we believe about the Holy Spirit, the Bible, salvation, church, and so forth. I want to share with you what our statement of faith, it's not a creed, it's a confession of faith, what we believe about the Bible. We'll have it on the screen for you. The Holy Bible was written by men divinely inspired and is God's revelation of himself to man. It is a perfect treasure of divine instruction. Say this next one with me. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth, say it loudly, without any mixture of error for its matter. Therefore, all Scripture is totally true and trustworthy. It reveals the principles by which God judges us and therefore is and will remain to the end of the world. The true center of Christian union and the supreme standard by which all human conduct, creeds, and religious opinions should be tried. I love this phrase, and let's say this aloud together. All Scripture is a testimony to Christ, who himself is the focus of divine revelation. As you engage God's word, what you're going to discover in the Old Testament, it's pointing to Jesus. Jesus is coming. The Messiah is coming. Then the New Testament, Jesus is here. The Messiah is here. Jesus was born. He lived a sinless life. He died a sacrificial death. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He rose from the dead, walked the earth 40 days, witnessed by 500 people, and then he ascended back to the Father, and he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. But one day, and it could even be during this service, Jesus is coming again. And my question this morning, are you rapture ready? Are you ready for Jesus to call his church home? That's the Bible, pointing to Jesus and then reminding us that Jesus is coming again. I just love that concept. I want you to notice also this word inspiration. Inspiration is such a loaded term. It's man writing as guided by God, that God is the author and he is guiding the writing of his Holy Scripture. 2 Peter 1:20 is a very important two verses. Above all, you know this, no prophecy of Scripture comes from the prophet's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's inspiration. Another power word to write down, illumination. Illumination. Lord, illuminate the path you want me to take. God's word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Illumination. It's so interesting when you talk to people throughout life, you'll come across someone who's an unbeliever. They've never professed Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. And they'll say something like this, oh, I've read the Bible and it did nothing for me. Then that same person turns from sin, trusting Christ alone for salvation. They're adopted into God's forever family and filled by God's Holy Spirit. Then they read the Bible and the Bible comes alive. It's like going to a 3D movie without 3D glasses. Once you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, filled by the Holy Spirit of God, you receive a lens by which now you understand Scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the person without the Spirit does not receive what comes from God's Spirit because it is foolishness to him. He is not able to understand it since it is evaluated spiritually. Another translation says spiritually discerned. One of my pastor friends years ago, one of my mentors, was telling about an experience he had when he was on a flight, and this was before you put on your headphones or AirPods, where you actually had a conversation with the person next to you. And he shared about, as he had the Bible open and reading the Bible, the passenger next to him just had a little edge about him, a little cynical, a little critical. And the guy just finally asked the pastor, he said, do you really believe that Bible? He said, absolutely. You mean to tell me you believe that Jonah was swallowed by a large fish? He said, in fact, I do. And when I get to heaven, I'll ask him, well, what if he's not there? Then you can ask him. That's called a witnessing opportunity. When you read the Bible, you are reading God's word to you and God's word for you. Here's question number two. What are the benefits? What are the benefits? Look at verse 16. Is profitable. That is sufficient or beneficial for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. Here's our statement. The Bible is completely sufficient. The Bible is completely sufficient. Some of you will feel what I'm about to say. We joined this movement just a few years back called Pelotonic. We thought for sure we needed a Peloton bike on our second floor, and we lived in a two-story home. So we bought the bike, got the subscription, and I had this vision that I'm gonna wake up early, have my quiet time, go upstairs and go Pelotonic. I'm gonna ride this Peloton. I'm gonna get so trim and slim, and just, it's gonna be incredible. And so for several months, it was like such an engaging experience. I couldn't wait to wake up, couldn't wait to go upstairs, and couldn't wait to do Peloton. And like all day long, I would reflect on it and said, I went Pelotonic. I'm in the club. Well, I feel so good today. And then over time, I just didn't go as often. And I was like, I just don't feel like going upstairs. I don't think I'm going to do that today. Then over time, our Peloton became the most expensive clothes hanger in the home. Can you relate to that? The Peloton doesn't benefit you unless you engage it. You can buy a treadmill or an elliptical machine and bring it to your home and look at it every day. You can shine it and polish it, but until you engage it and use it, it will not benefit you. And the same is true with the Bible, the Word of God. If you're not reading and feeding on the Word of God, engaging Scripture, it's not going to benefit you. Notice what Paul says. It's profitable for teaching. That is doctrine. That's why I have life Bible studies, to go deeper in God's Word with people your age and life stage and experience authentic community around God's Word and learning the doctrines of Scripture. It's also useful for rebuking. Now, that's kind of a strange word we don't use very often, rebuking. I rebuke you. But I had an encounter where I felt like I really knew what this meant. A couple of weeks ago, our lead team from here went to College Station. And we were on our way to meet Pastor Greg, who was at the Breakaway Office conference room. We're going to spend 24 hours as a lead team. Our wives are going to join us that evening and just do some visioneering, do some praying together, and just planning for the future. Just an incredible 24 hours of leadership and growth and development and dreaming about what could be and what should be. So I'm driving Tanya's car. Our director of operations, Chad Hamm, our CFO, is in the front seat. Our missions pastor, Clark Reynolds, in the back seat. And we get to a red light. I think it's on Texas Avenue, the big multiple lanes. I could see the golf course down on the left. I knew we were close. And the light turns red. I stop, and then it turns green. And so I'm going. And I notice to the right under a tree, I said, look, there's a motorcycle cop under that tree. That's interesting. And I just kept going. And then Chad, our director of operations, said, well, he's coming after you. I said, he's not coming after me. And he was. And he got up on our bumper and turned the lights on, the siren. So I pulled in at a hotel. And then he walks up, I rolled the window down, and he asked for my driver's license. And then, you know, I'm thinking, I have Chad Hamm and then Clark Reynolds. We're going to meet our senior pastor, Pastor Greg, for a very spiritual 24 hours of pursuing God. Here I am being pulled over by a motorcycle cop in College Station. And then Clark Reynolds, in the midst of that, had the audacity to take a selfie. I want you to see what he took a picture of. Just wanted to document my spiritual journey and my walk with God. So the officer came back up to the window, and he was so gracious and kind, and he issued me a warning, and I thanked him for being so gracious and just how much we appreciated that. And then he was walking away, and I said, well, officer, and he came back. I said, you've shared something with me. I'd like to share something with you that has changed all of our lives. And it was Steps to Peace with God track. Got scripture in it on how to go to heaven. And he opened it. Now, Clark didn't video that. He didn't take a picture of that. And the officer said, you know what? I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And I said, but would you be willing to share this with someone else? And he said, absolutely. Such a sweet moment. Now, had he given me a ticket, it probably wouldn't have gone that direction. So Paul says, profitable for rebuking and then for correcting. I love this in the language of the New Testament. It's used only here in the New Testament. It refers to restoration of something to its original and proper condition. In the Greek literature, it would talk about something that had fallen over and you stand it back up. A person had tripped, stumbled, you pick them back up. That's the word for correcting. And then notice, for training in righteousness. The Bible is completely sufficient to let us know what is right, what is not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. Now, we are committed to the Word of God here at Houston's First Baptist Church. That's why Pastor Greg consistently every Sunday preaches the Bible. That's why as we're building our new campus in Siena, when they poured the slab for the platform like I'm standing on here, you'll notice we had a special service to put the Bible beneath the pulpit. And then they covered that up with concrete so that as Pastor Greg and Pastor Malcolm preach at Siena, we're going to always be standing on the Word of God. Why do we do that? Because we treasure God's Word. When we went through our two-year One Fund initiative, Kainos, the first check we wrote out of Kainos is we gave through the church, not to the church. We gave $500,000, $500,000 to Bible translation, to provide a copy of God's word to unreached people groups so they'd have God's word in their heart language. Do you know the song, the B-I-B-L-E? Normally when I sing, people think it's a fire exit. That is not what this is. I want you to sing it with me. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Give yourselves a big hand. Great job on that. And then we end with this question. What are you becoming? What are you becoming? One of my favorite quotes from John Maxwell, who was a pastor at Skyline in San Diego and is world-renowned for leadership all over the world now, and just incredible. Have all of his books. Love John Maxwell and his writings. He says, you will become what you're becoming right now. You will become what you're becoming right now. And look at our final verse, verse 17. So that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Here's our statement. The Bible is unceasingly reliable. The Bible is unceasingly reliable. I want you to think about all that Scripture has been through over the centuries to get to the place where today we can have a beautifully bound leather edition of the Bible. How God has preserved His Word and how His Word is reliable and consistent. As we think about God's Word, I think about Henry Blackaby and experiencing God. I love this quote that was so dear to my heart and still is. God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. Isn't that a powerful quote? During the Stalin era in Russia, the Marxist government derided the Bible as a book full of legends, myths, and old wives' tales. And it even established an anti-Bible museum in Moscow to try and convince the people. Yet for all their derision, the authorities were so desperately afraid that the people would read it and believe it that they put them in prison and in labor camps if they chose to read it. Why? Because they knew that this unique Bible had the power to change lives. And that's why, Pastor Clark, we are so committed to Bible translation. Because we want to get the gospel to people who are far from God and do not have Scripture in their heart language. Tough times call for firm belief in the Bible. Would you affirm that and say amen? And then notice, tough times call for healthy rhythms of spiritual and physical fitness. A book that I really enjoyed reading is called Atomic Habits by James Clear. And he has this concept that I've embraced a few years back called habit stacking. Habit stacking. So what I want to do is give you just four rhythms to plug in on Monday morning. Four rhythms to plug on Monday morning. And to give you just this portrait of habit stacking. So habit stacking is when you make a commitment toward whatever you're trying to become, and then you stack your habits, and all you have to do is the first one. So in my habit stacking, all I have to do is wake up. When I wake up, usually without an alarm, I'm a morning person. When I wake up, it starts my habits, my morning routine. And you'll notice here on the table, I have my Kodiak muffin that my son Austin introduced me to, 12 grams of protein. Now, I baptize it when I'm stirring it with a little almond joy delight, a little baptism, just to make it a little gooey, a little sweeter. Then I fix my coffee in our team first mug in the mornings, and then I put another little baptism of creamer in it to make it sweet. That's called habit stacking. And then I have this habit where I go into my study, I put my Kodiak muffin down, my coffee mug down, my water bottle, because I like to drink coffee and water so my teeth don't turn yellow. That's my habit. And then the next thing I do is I get on my knees before God to have my prayer time before the Lord. I have a blanket that I lay down and I kneel down and have the sweetest time with the Lord. Now, I've taught on this, I've already preached on this, but I start by using PACE, P-A-C-E. Learned it from Dr. Adrian Rogers. Lord, I praise you. I accept your acceptance of me. I surrender to your control, and I expect great things to happen today. Then I pray the prayer of Jabez, Belk, blessed, enlarged, let know. Lord, would you bless me? Would you enlarge my territory? Let your hand be upon me and keep me from harm. Then I pray the Lord's Prayer. And then I move into praying through the Old Testament tabernacle, the seven stations of prayer that all point to Jesus Christ. The first station, and I'm not going through all seven, the first station is the altar burnt offering. I'm still kneeling down. I've been in a time of prayer. And I say, Lord, as I come to the altar burnt offering, I come to the cross. And I acknowledge your sacrifice for me. And I'll quote John 3:16. I'll quote other scripture verses that point to what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago. Then I come to the basin of water, which the New Testament equivalent is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that's where I come to confess my sin before the Lord, sins of commission, sins of omission, and anything in my private life that has dishonored God. Just getting real before God. It's consecrating my life before the Lord. And I literally do this, and I say, Lord, I give you my mind. I give you my eyes. I give you my voice. Give you my ears, give you my heart, give you my lungs, my digestive tract, give you my legs, my feet, my arms, my hands, my love, my loyalty, my leadership. I consecrate everything to you. And then I move into the table of the bread of the presence and start praying for other people, starting with my family. Then the golden lampstand, which is addressing the Holy Spirit in prayer. Then the altar of burning incense. And then the last thing I pray as I enter through the curtain that's torn from top to bottom, Jesus gives us access to the Holy of Holies. The last thing I pray is, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. So let me give you those four rhythms. You ready for them? Here they go. Rhythm number one, posture your heart by praying strategically. Posture your heart by praying strategically. I prefer to be on my knees because here's what I'm discovering. Kneeling keeps you standing. And it just postures my heart before the Lord as creator of the universe and savior of my life. Rhythm number two, renew your mind by reading systematically. Renew your mind by reading systematically. Now, as you can see, I'm preparing for my morning quiet time with the Lord, my standing meeting with God. What I do first, I do best, so I do first quiet time before God. I want to show you a picture of what I have already ready and available as far as my journals. So you'll see to the left a five-year journal, just a little paragraph each day you write. And I'm in year four, and on May 15th, I'll start year five. Then Walking with God, our church-wide devotional. We have it available here at Corner Books. Then to the right, I have another devotional that I use for writing scripture verses down and writing what God's saying to me personally. So I'm so visual, I have to see it. I'm not an auditory learner. Tanya is, so Tanya can hear it. She never forgets it. Trust me. I have to see it. And when I see it, I can pretty much lock it in. So that's the picture of what I'm bringing to my quiet time. I have a really nice reading chair that's motorized and reclines, and I have a blanket I cover up with. I'm going to show you my quiet time this morning with my Bible open, see what you notice. So this is our daughter Tori's Maltipoo, Heidi. She's our grandpuppy. She calls me Poppy. And this is me having my quiet time this morning, and this is when Heidi's with us, when she stays at our home, she's always with me in my quiet time. When I'm kneeling down in prayer, she lays beside me and she rolls on her back thinking I'm getting down here to rub her belly when I'm just trying to have time with the Lord. But you see the process, the plan. Now, once I sit down, the first thing I do is I write in my five-year journal, then I read the David Jeremiah devotional, then I read scripture, and I'm drinking coffee, and I'm eating my Kodiak muffin that was baptized with Almond Joy Creamer. And here's what I'm doing. Learning to listen to God's voice. Learning to discern God's voice. I literally feel like I'm sitting in God's lap and he's speaking to me as I read his precious word. Then when I get in my car to go work out, I'm listening through the Bible, the one-year Bible. And we have a QR code at the bottom of your message notes where you can get the YouVersion app. And I just select the one-year Bible, and I select a different translation every year. So here's what it looked like this morning as Tanya and I rode together to church. We listened to today's installment. There it is. See, that's already checked off. Now, this is what it looks like after a year, and I do this every year. But let me show you December 31st, 2023. Doesn't that look good? 365th day completed. Read through the entire Bible in 1 year, but I did it through audio. I just listened. I listen to the Bible when I'm working out if I haven't completed it during my commute. Does that connect with you? Here's the other rhythm, rhythm number three, revive your faith by journaling your journey. I've already spoken to that. I have a 5-year journal and then my scripture and insights journal. Revive your faith by journaling your journey. Then number four, replenish your body by making physical fitness an extension of your quiet time. Remember, barbells in the morning, bluebell at night. Barbells in the morning, bluebell at night, and you will know you're walking with God. I tell Tanya, baby, I'm just giving you more to love, more to hold, more to pat, 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 pat. Now, here's our life point, and we'll close with this. 2 weeks ago, we went to the Hosanna Wong experience at our Cypress campus where she did spoken word. Just go to our Houston's First YouTube channel. You can hear the whole thing. It was unbelievable. Tanya and Tori and I went together, and God really did a deep work. It was so sweet what God did in our lives. But here's a quote from her I wanted to leave you with. You will know who you really are when you spend time with the one who knows you best. You will know who you really are when you spend time with the one who knows you best. Father, we praise you for this day. Thank you for your precious word. And God, I pray that you'll bring us to a new level of treasuring your word. Lord, help us to elevate the intake of your word each day as we read and feed your word, as we nourish our souls by spending time in your word. And Lord, as we engage scripture, we know that you have spoken. We know that you are speaking. And God, that you are speaking to us right where we live, right where we are. And you've given us everything we need for life and for godliness. Thank you for revealing yourself to us through your holy word. God, would you elevate our appetite? We have such a strong appetite for the things of this world, and I pray that those will decrease and that our appetite for your word will increase. God, help us to mute the voice of the enemy and the other voices we listen to, and help us to amplify the voice of truth. We pray this in Jesus' name.